of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, March 23rd, 2023. I am your presenter, Jade George. In the headlines, Justice Dr. Irvin Andre argues that some in the political directorate are attempting to hoodwink Dominicans about electoral reform, and that the more they do so, the deeper the nation gets mired in muck.
Regional and global, only on Q95.
A former Haitian mayor was ordered to pay $15.5 million compensation in a civil lawsuit after he was accused of murder, attempted murder, and torture. And Russian President Putin threatened the UK if its supplies to Ukraine with depleted uranium shells after the UK said depleted uranium has been used in munitions for decades, but nothing to do with nuclear weapons. The news is brought to you compliments West Indies Communications Enterprise. The details of these coming up next.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre highlights that those in the political directorate are attempting to hoodwink Dominicans about electoral reform. He went on to say that they have symbolically restrained Sir Denis Byron's knowledge and expertise in trying to guarantee that no recommendation he makes will endanger their unbreakable hold on the election system. Andre contends that the more they do so, the more deeply the nation gets mired in muck.
To come up with a patchwork of proposed reforms that would cement their hold in power and lay the foundation for their stranglehold over the reins of power. Some of their disciples have symbolically handcuffed the expertise of Sir Byron and worked to ensure that whatever proposal he makes concerning electoral reforms would not threaten in any way, in any shape, in any form, their impregnable grip on the electoral process in Dominica. The more they do, Dominica is sinking into a deeper muddy grave than the Morocco Hotel at the Cabrits.
He noted the concerns over the presence of a menacing building in Roseau and evidence that raises the possibility that Dominicans conspired to abduct Mehul Choksi, among other problematic areas of concern, which all indicate how the island nation is being reduced to a lifeless mass. He spoke of a voice shouting, "Who speaks for me?" from a suppressed version of Dominica asking for who is rushing to its rescue.
Disclosures about Jumbi money from a dubious bank in Dominica loaned to Donald Trump. A sinister structure in Roseau whose owner nobody sees or nobody knows. Evidence that Dominicans may have been involved in a conspiracy to kidnap Mehul Choksi and send him back to India. The French warning Dominica about human trafficking. All collectively show that Dominica is being smothered into a lifeless lump while the old historic village of Wesley is being laid to rest. And as all this unravels, a voice raises out of the subdued form of Dominica from its head, located at the Cabrits, to its feet, located at Scott's Head. And the voice cries, "Who speaks for me? Who is coming to my rescue?"
According to Justice Dr. Andre, looking for concrete electoral reform in Dominica is ineffective as looking for proof of the island's prosperous past. He adds that we are unable to find meaningful electoral reform in contrast to all of our Caribbean sister islands.
Let me indicate by saying that the search for meaningful electoral reform in Dominica is as futile as the search for evidence of Dominica's productive past, such as, for example, a can of dumb fruit orange juice, Bello guava cheese, a pair of Baitrini, a pair of jeans, or probably some crabbacks at this time of the year. Now, unlike all our sister islands in the Caribbean, we cannot seem to locate true electoral reform. Why?
He emphasizes that in the political directorate are still determined to mislead Dominicans about electoral reform. In spite of OAS findings, specific instances in the Caribbean islands, and significant suggestions from the CCJ, their aim appears to be to come up with a patchwork of recommended reforms that would solidify their hold on power and establish the groundwork for continuous control. Justice Andrew explores the fact that they have retained a Goliath in the judicial fraternity.
Despite reports from the OAS, a current prime minister in the Caribbean, a group of concerned citizens, blessed by a reverend pastor, despite concrete examples in other Caribbean islands, despite an important ruling from the CCJ, those in the political directorate are still hell-bent on hoodwinking Dominica about electoral reform. They have retained a Goliath in the judicial fraternity to come up with a patchwork of proposed reforms that would cement their hold in power and lay the foundation for this stranglehold over the reins of power.
Justice Dr. Irvin Andre. Steve Joseph, president of the Dominica Public Service Union, stated that the information or the formation of a dependence culture has resulted in an erosion of people's values and mindset during the previous two decades. According to Joseph, as a result of this dependent society, the people's self-esteem and self-worth are dwindling, and they must bend their heads and wait in line for something they can obtain by working.
But how do you change people's mindset? That's the other challenge for all of us. I think what we've seen over the last two decades is an infiltration even of people's values and their man's mindset. We have created a more dependent society, a more mendicant society, that people are diminishing in their self-value, their self-worth. People bow their heads and they form a line to ask for menial things that they should be working for. You have even professionals coming back from overseas and have to bow and go and beg. And you have that challenge. So he's correct that mindset has a lot to do with it. But it goes beyond just education. People have to begin to put a value on themselves, their self-worth, and say they will not settle for less.
DPSU President Steve Joseph. Meanwhile, the General Secretary, Thomas Leiter, stated that the way we think as well as our actions in relation to our values and worth is generating something that will be regretted.
With the mindset that we have, with our behavior, with what we, our values, are creating something that we'll regret.
Oh, yes.
Increased poverty in the future. You see, because what is happening is that people do not have sustainable employment, okay? And we have been talking about the NEP and so on.
Yes.
By now, a lot of people should be in a position where they have a good job,
decent work,
mm-hmm. and so on. Now, it means that their conditions are not going to improve in the future. What is it that they might have? Inheritance is going to be something of the past.
Oh.
Because you work hard, you are able to build a house, you buy a piece of land, you can pass it to your children. But if you, during your working life, you never had a decent job, what is it that you have? What is it that you can leave to anybody? And these are the things that we should be talking about.
Dominica Public Service Union General Secretary Thomas Leiter. According to the World Food Program, WFP, about 420 million children worldwide get school meals, which is 30 million higher than in 2020. According to the State of School Feeding Worldwide study, governments increasingly understand the benefit of these projects in the midst of the present global food crisis, with many families struggling to put food on the table. School lunches are a key safety net for disadvantaged children and households at a time when 345 million people, including 153 million children and young people, are suffering crisis levels of hunger. Carmen Burbano, WFP's head of school-based programs, stated that as the globe grapples with a worldwide food crisis that threatens to deprive millions of children of their future, school meals play an important role. In many of the nations where they work, a child's school supper may be their only meal for the day. WFP said countries worked to restore free lunch programs following the disruption of the COVID-19 program 3 years ago. This has led to a rise in boys and girls receiving school meals, who represent 41% of all school children. Manager of Rosalie Bay Eco Resort and Spa, Avril Coppell, highlights that they are on a mission to conserve and protect the turtles that turn up on their shores to nest. To do this, they have looked at ways to reduce their own carbon emissions and harness renewable energy to reduce electricity bills and protect them from power outages.
Rosalie Bay Eco Resort and Spa is a 28-room property on 22 acres. We are an eco resort, and we are very conservation is a big part of our mission. So we are primarily concerned with conservation of the environment and also preservation and protection of the turtles that nest on our Rosalie Bay Beach. With regards to conservation and with regards to the environment, we also looked at how it is that we could also reduce our own carbon emissions and how we could actually harness renewable energy to reduce our electricity bill, of course, and of course to protect us from power outages and other aspects that come from depending on the grid.
She made mention that they have a wind turbine built on property. Although it is not always in operation, they mostly turned to solar and, in some circumstances, wind energy. The electricity needs are now being met by a combination of grid and solar energy. As a result, the idea of using the sun to generate energy is fundamental to who they are at Rosalie Bay. Ms. Coppell expressed that they enthusiastically endorse it as a component of any company's transmission of green energy. They also put a lot of emphasis on energy efficiency because these two are related. While focusing on renewable energy, it is equally important to make sure that the energy you do produce is not wasted.
So we turned primarily to solar, and we also in some cases have turned to wind energy. I say in some cases wind energy because we do have installed on property a 225 kilowatt hour wind turbine. However, it is currently unoperational. But when it is operational, it provides 100% of the energy that we need without relying on the grid. Currently, we are relying on a combination of grid and solar energy to provide our electricity needs. With solar energy, we have an installation of solar panels. We also have solar water heaters on several of our buildings to provide hot water to our guests and also for our own operational use. And in some cases, we also have a few solar streetlights.
Avril Coppell, manager of Rosalie Bay Eco Resort and Spa. 12 young entrepreneurs who have completed training in social entrepreneurship through the Social Enterprise Incubator Project will receive grant funding of $45,000 to support the growth and development of their social enterprises. The Barbados and St. Lucia Youth Business Trust, sponsored by the European Union, designed the Social Enterprise Incubator Program, which was introduced in Dominica in May 2021. Its goal is to help social entrepreneurs grow and succeed by demonstrating to them how business can be utilized to solve social problems. The social missions of the awardees were aimed at the environment, unemployment, uplifting marginalized youth in their communities, sewing, landscaping, lawn care, and media marketing. Social Enterprise Administrator of the Dominica Youth Business Trust, Iman Gibbons, gives more details on the cohort sessions of this project.
The Social Enterprise Incubator Program was conceptualized through a collaborative effort with the Barbados and St. Lucia Youth Business Trust, funded by the European Union. Launched in Dominica by the Dominica Web Business Trust in May 2021, this incubator program was designed to develop, launch, and support entrepreneurs in the concept of social entrepreneurship, teaching youth entrepreneurs that business is not only for profit, but can be used to alleviate social issues within their communities. The first cohort started with 5 social entrepreneurs with social missions aimed at the environment, unemployment, and uplifting marginalized youth in their communities. Cohort 2 saw 4 social entrepreneurs trained and supported with social missions of giving back to the community, internship programs in sewing, landscaping and lawn care, and media marketing. These missions stemmed from personal plights of the entrepreneurs and wanting to make a better avenue for upcoming youth. Cohorts 1 and 2 had the opportunity to prepare and submit their business plans and pitch their enterprises to a panel of judges under the DYBT's Business Plan Innovation Award banner. Under this, participants have been awarded top prizes and merit award grants under the SEI.
Social Enterprise Administrator of the DYBT, Iman Gibbons. Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire, wonders whether Dominicans are actually noting their decrease in democracy in their country. He advises Dominicans to read the writing on the wall indicating the nation's impending doom and pay attention to them. Gregoire emphasizes that only Dominicans can save themselves, but he is concerned as to whether they will put up a fight to change this course.
The DLP regime in office likes the electoral system exactly the way it is now, given the most recent statements from its leader. Are we, in fact, witnessing the rise and fall of Dominica's democracy? Is that what we're seeing right before our eyes? Is Dominica walking towards a precipice? Are we on the brink, on the edge? Dominicans should heed all of the signs of the destruction of their nation. Dominicans must now read the writing on the wall, because Dominicans are the only ones who can save themselves, but are they ready and willing to do so?
In order to return Dominica to the road of genuine democracy, human rights, civil freedoms, and economic freedom through 3 and fair elections, Gregoire perceives that electoral reform is clearly the way to go. He's concerned whether Sir Dennis Byron's legislative recommendations might assist Dominica's democracy nonetheless.
Electoral reform is obviously the way forward to steer Dominica back on the path of true democracy, human rights, civil liberties, free speech, free media, and economic freedom through free and fair elections on a level playing field. Let me a level playing field and then let the chips fall where they may, who run for election, who win-win, who lose-lose. But will the Dennis Byron reforms advance the cause of democracy in Dominica? Will they create a level playing field? Will his final report restore faith in our democratic system of electing a government? Or will it contain hidden traps? Or as a friend of mine would say, will it contain diabasak? Or will the DLP regime leader table the right laws in parliament?
Host of Q95's Global View on Q, Sheridan Gregoire. Dr. Simone Matthew, an associate professor of psychology, notes that Dr. Alwyn Bully's legacy is still being upheld, but emphasizes that we need to encourage the subsequent generations to carry on the legacy he left for us. Dr. Matthew made these remarks while a law professor described the influence that Dr. Bully had on his life's journey. She made the point that we need to place the emphasis necessarily on the authorities in the cultural industry to take action to remind or remember Dr. Bully and carry on his legacy through the generations to come and beyond.
And you know, Professor, you know, you're just reiterating so much of everything everyone has said, how selfless Alwyn was in terms of just giving to Dominica. And I'm so happy that we continue to honor his legacy. But as I always say, we have to build on the legacy that our heroes, such as Alwyn Bully, have left for us by encouraging the next generation to continue and encouraging the authorities to do something, not just to honor his memory, but to continue to build on the legacy. So I'm so happy that you were able to, he was able to have that impact on your life, and you were able to share with us how he impacted your life.
Dr. Simone Matthew, an associate professor of psychology. In other news this evening, a United States court has ordered a former Haitian mayor to pay more than US$15.5 million in compensation after he was accused of murder, attempted murder, and torture in a civil lawsuit. Jean Moroz Villiana, who now lives in Massachusetts, was sued by three Haitian citizens who say they or their relatives were persecuted by him and his political allies when he was the mayor of the rural town. The lawsuit was filed in 2017 under the Torture Victim Protection Act, a 1991 U.S. law that allows civil lawsuits to be brought against foreign officials accused of wrongdoing if all legal avenues in their homelands have been exhausted. The defense had argued that Villiana was not involved in violence and had in fact increased services while leading Le Hérault, a town of around 22,000 people, about 140 miles from the capital, Port-au-Prince. In other news this afternoon, Russia's President Putin has warned that if the UK goes ahead with plans to supply Ukraine with shells containing depleted uranium, then Russia will be forced to respond. The warning came on the second day of a visit to Moscow by China's President Xi. Vladimir Putin told the UK that Russia would be forced to take action accordingly if the UK supplies the weapons. He suggested it amounted to an escalation towards the use of nuclear arms. In response, the UK said depleted uranium had been used in munitions for decades and had nothing to do with nuclear weapons. Depleted uranium's great density and mass mean it can add to the effectiveness of armor-piercing weapons. However, its use is controversial as the metal is radioactive and poisonous to humans and animals. Hugh Edwards, representing BBC News at 10, reports from Russia, editor Steve Rosenberg in Moscow.
Now in Moscow, President Putin has warned that if the UK goes ahead with a plan to supply Ukraine with ammunition which contains depleted uranium, Russia will be forced to respond. Now, the threat of unspecified retaliation was made on the second day of talks with President Xi of China. The two leaders have been discussing what's been described as a peace plan for Ukraine, which has been put forward by Beijing. Our Russia editor, Steve Rosenberg, has the latest.
Take two world leaders, a dash of Kremlin choreography, and you get this. The symbolism was clear. On the world stage, Xi and Putin, China and Russia, are coming together to forge what they claim is a strong partnership. The talk at the table was about expanding cooperation. But equal partners, they are not. Russia, under pressure over its war in Ukraine, is increasingly dependent on China. And Vladimir Putin is increasingly critical of the West. Later, he slammed the UK for deciding to provide ammunition to Ukraine that contains depleted uranium.
I would like to note that if this happens, then Russia will be forced to take action accordingly. I'm talking about the fact that the West is already starting to use weapons with a nuclear component.
Tonight, this warning from Moscow has sparked a reaction from London. The UK Ministry of Defence has pointed out that depleted uranium has nothing to do with nuclear weapons or capabilities. It says it's a standard component the British Army has been using for decades, and that Russia is deliberately trying to disinform. A Chinese peace initiative for Ukraine made little headway. President Putin blamed Kyiv and the West, but this is a war he started, and he shows no sign he's ready to pull out his troops. Might Beijing be ready to supply Russia with weapons? That key question was left unanswered. In any case, Xi's visit is seen here as a diplomatic coup. At last, the Kremlin has something to celebrate. Steve Rosenberg, BBC News.
And that's the Prime Evening News, but first here's a recap of the headlines. Justice Dr. Irvin Andre argues that in some In that some in the political directorate are attempting to hoodwink Dominicans about electoral reform, and that the more they do so, the deeper the nation gets mired in muck. A former Haitian mayor was ordered to pay US $15.5 million compensation in a civil lawsuit after he was accused of murder, attempted murder, and torture. And Russian President Putin threatened the UK if it supplies Ukraine with depleted uranium shells after the UK said depleted uranium has been used in munitions for decades, but nothing to declare, nothing to do with nuclear weapons. The news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of West Indies Communications Enterprise, and I have been your presenter, Jade George.